It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We get basics on how the stock market works and pointers from a financial advisor on why to own shares of publicly traded companies. Investment in the stock market has long-term consequences. When I was 22, I set aside the money I saved clipping coupons for my grocery bill for months, and to scrape together enough to open a mutual fund with an initial investment of $1,000. I still like to deposit into that fund today, more than a generation later, using a dollar cost averaging approach. Join in on your approach on stocks, on investing in the market, what you want to know, 800-642-1234. Martha Klatt is a financial advisor and a managing partner with Carlson Advisors, part of Ameriprise Financial Services. Martha, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me to participate.
Oh, good morning to you, Martha. Well, I just shared my coming-of-age story of investing in the stock market, and I wonder if you have a story to share about how you first got into the stock market and started investing.
Well, actually, I started later in life because I was a stay-at-home mom for many years. And so my first kind of dive into the stock market was when I had a part-time job and a simple plan. So I participated in that and then ultimately ended up being a financial advisor later in life. And I kind of went from there.
It's interesting you say that because you also have a special place in your heart for advising women and money. What do you see going on there?
Well, I think there's a case where, you know, at least in my, you know, what happened with me was I was a stay-at-home mom. My world revolved around my family and my kids. And it wasn't that I couldn't be in the stock market or go to work or anything like that, but I just chose a different path. And oftentimes, it's a little different now, but it still tends to trend where, you know, we have men and they have jobs and they just kind of automatically, without really thinking about it, participate in the benefits they get from a company, where women will tend to be more, it's a cultural thing, more caregivers and will tend to take care of their families. So if it comes to a choice of putting money in my 401k plan and providing dance lessons or allowing my child to play hockey or something like that, I'll usually do that. So it's I'm really passionate about helping people find that balance. What, you know, how can I live life today and provide everything I want to for my family and myself, but yet take care of myself in the long term.
So if someone is investing later in life, getting started a bit later, regardless of the circumstances, how can you help them make up for that lost time if they didn't start really early?
Well, it all comes down to what their goals are. What are they trying to achieve? You know, if they start later in life and they're thinking they want to retire early, then, you know, they're going to have to work really hard and save a lot more, take a lot more risk. If, you know, if they're just saving to leave something to their kids or something like that, well, then you can have a different strategy. It's certainly always better to start younger. Time is on your side, but it's never too late to start. And just doing something, you know, no matter how much you have, if you're doing something, that's better than doing nothing.
You mentioned the word time, and I keep thinking about that old saying, time in the market is more important than timing the market. What do you think of that? And what are some signs that someone is ready to start investing in the stock market or in a good position to?
I actually think the time to start is when they're babies. You know how we give money for Christmas and the tooth fairy and that type of thing. I think teaching children at a very young age that when they get any type of money, they want to do at least four things with it. Some of it they want to spend because we all love to spend and buy things that make us happy. You want to save, you want to invest, and you want to have some charitable, be part of your community and have some charitable donations. So I believe if you start really young teaching kids that concept, that by the time they get their first paycheck, it'll already be part of their normal to just go ahead and do those four things. It's like, I get my paycheck. Okay, I'm going to save some of it, spend some of it. I'm going to put it into my retirement plan if I have one. Otherwise, I'm going to contribute to a Roth or an IRA, and I'm going to donate to something that's important to me. And I do believe, you know, to get started, I have some high school students and even some college students that have opened Roth, and they just maybe put $25 or $50 a month in there. And I believe that that's good, and they should do that while they have, you know, maybe some excess money. They don't maybe have as many expenses because maybe they're living at home. Maybe school is not costing them as much as they thought, but they have some excess money. So do it now while you have it. And if you have to stop for a little while later in life because you get married, you buy a house, you have kids, life happens, whatever, your money's still invested that you started when you were in high school or college, and it's still working for you.
Still growing. Martha Klatt is with us as we talk about stock market investments and strategies, a financial advisor in Toma. You can join in with your questions about the markets, 800-642-1234. You know, I see the philosophy of starting early, but we, you know, you also have to look at volatility. And for months, the stock market has really seen significant fluctuations in gains and losses. You look at the S&P 500 posted its worst first half of the year since 1970. What do you think is causing this volatility?
Well, there's a number of things, but I think the biggest driver in the volatility right now is the inflation and trying to get a handle on our inflation rate and trying to raise interest rates to bring that down. So that plays a big part of that. And, you know, when you're trying to, you know, people get nervous. There's not a clear-cut plan, so they don't know what's happening, and so that continues to have the volatility. There's some other things that have played a part. You know, we're coming out of COVID. We've had supply chain issues. Oil prices are high. There's just a lot of different things that are impacting it, but the biggest driver is the inflation rate, and the market is just not sure how the Federal Reserve is going to make that or kind of get a handle on that. And the goal is, of course, to stop the rising inflation rate, bring it down more where people can accept it. And as soon as we kind of make that turn, you'll see some of this volatility settle down.
With this volatility, when should a person consider selling their stocks?
Well, I try to, with my clients, I try to always talk about, you know, the emotional investment you have in there. So it's just natural for people to see this kind of volatility and think, oh my gosh, I'm losing all this money. I've got to get out. And you kind of have to take a step back and look at the reason. Are you selling? Are you selling just because the market is volatile? Then you should stay in. As long as you've got a good quality stock, you feel like it's, you know, it's not going anywhere. It may be going down, but when this all works out, that stock will come back. If you need the money and you're selling because you have something that you need the money for, well, that's a different story. Then we've got to look at how we can do that without you taking a huge loss. But we want people to be really careful and kind of look at it as a big sale. And anything else that you might do, if you were to go into a store and things were discounted, you'd be saying, oh my gosh, I got to buy more. You know, I can get all these things I've been waiting to buy because it's cheaper for me. And of course, age has something to do with it too. If you're younger, you like it when the market is down because you're just, especially if you're doing that dollar cost investing, the dollar cost averaging where you're putting money in on a regular basis, you're buying cheaper. So when your money goes in, you're just buying it cheaper. And that's okay, because you've got, again, that time on your side that, okay, this is going to work out, but right now I'm getting stuff really cheap, and that's good for me because it's just going to get appreciate and the value is going to get larger as years go on. Now, if you're in retirement age and taking distributions out of your portfolio, that, of course, makes you nervous. But there's strategies that advisors use to try to help our clients that are in that position. I think in a volatile market, you've got to be diversified and you've got to buy quality. And if you've got those two things going for you, sometimes you have to ride it out. It kind of is specific to the individual.
Sure.
But you want to make sure that you don't make decisions based on kind of being afraid or just thinking, oh my gosh, it's down. You know, why are you making that decision? What's driving it?
Our stock market guide on buying the dip, as they say, Martha Klatt is here, managing partner of a financial advisory firm in the central region of our state. Join in on buying stocks, what your approach is, mutual funds versus index funds, and risk as you get closer to retirement. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're discussing the fundamentals of the stock market, how to get in the market for the long haul with a plan to have it pay off, right, down the road. Join in on what it feels like to be a new investor in a bear stock market with rising inflation and skyrocketing prices for homes and gas. Questions about what goes into a balanced portfolio now. 800-642-1234. Martha Klatt is a financial advisor in Toma, sharing insight on investment management, including when to buy and sell stock. Martha, you were talking there about inflation, and it got me thinking about the possibility of a recession. There's been a lot of talk recently about that. And, you know, we know there's no recession-proof investment, but what would a potential economic downturn look like for a newer investor in the stock market?
Well, I think when you see, you know, some type of a recession, you know, the biggest thing that the average person will see is, you know, they open up their statement and their portfolio balance is down. And again, you know, I say you work hard for your money. So that's kind of a little bit of a gut punch. You're like, oh, my goodness. But, you know, for a recession or actually any time when there's an inflationary period of time, but I just think good general balances and fundamentals of investing is to be disciplined, diversify your portfolio, and make sure that you're aligning your financial strategies with your goals. So, and by quality, it's really easy to get kind of caught up in the stock market. I mean, you can tell that it's kind of my passion and I love all of this. But, you know, you watch the news and everything like that. And sometimes you can hear all about something and you think, oh, I got to get in on that. I got to do that. That sounds really intriguing. But you need to take that step back and go, well, that sounds really intriguing, but does it kind of fit into my plan? Is it something that's going to help me get from point A to point B? And maybe it isn't. So then, you know, that's the way you can kind of make sure that your portfolio is set up so that when we do have good and bad markets, you're in a position to, you know, capture some of the upside, but maybe not capture all of the downside. And it comes down to diversification and buying quality investments. If you're buying something that's kind of, you know, more of, what do I want to say, risky, then you've got the, if you buy something that's a little bit risky or a penny stock or something like that, you've got to be willing to lose it all. Mm. Those are the risks you take. So you've got to know what your risk is and kind of what your goal is and what you're willing to lose.
You know, I, for one, am not a stock picker, and there are, you know, more than 6,000 different stock options between the NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange. So I would be in the camp of buying like an index of something and letting the index serve its purpose, or, you know, buying into mutual funds. What are your thoughts there on, you know, picking stocks, zeroing in on buying individual stocks versus going a more of a bigger basket approach like a mutual fund?
I think you could do it either way. I think if you've got smaller amounts of money, if you want to get that diversified portfolio, then certainly a mutual fund or an ETF is going to do that for you, because those products tend to be a basket. Like, you can get a mutual fund or an ETF as an exchange-traded fund. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a basket of stocks or a basket of bonds or a mixture of that. Or it could be just, you know, if you're into biotech, you can get just a biotech mutual fund or ETF. So you can really strategically buy those. And with smaller amounts of money, you can get that diversification because they have multiple stocks or bonds within that one product. If you have larger portfolios, it sometimes makes sense to do the individual stocks. Again, you want to be diversified, so you're looking for stocks in what we call different sectors. You want some tech stocks, you want some energy, you want some consumer discretionary, some utilities, you know, the list goes on. And again, you try to buy companies that either you know or have heard of, you do your research, or you have somebody that you're working with that does that for you. And you kind of look at what the stock is. Has it been around for a while? Is it new? You know, is it tried and true? Does it pay a dividend? All of those questions can help you decide if it's the right fit. And it goes back again to that financial strategy. What are you trying to do with your money? And how long do you have to do it with? And then that will help guide you as to what's the right product for you.
We're talking with Martha Klatt, financial advisor in Wisconsin, about buying and selling stocks. Taking your questions, 800-642-1234. Carl is with us in the town of Cecil. Carl, hi.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. What would you like to bring up?
Well, I'm approaching 80 years old, and I'm wondering if I should hang in there with the stock market, if there's enough. I know the market will come back if you're younger, but I'm not quite certain if I knew how much time I got left and if I should hang in there, if the market will come back within the next 5 or 6 years.
That's a great question, Carl. Thank you. Martha, what about that time horizon that Carl has there at approaching 80?
Yeah, it is more nerve-wracking for people when they're older, when the market is volatile like this. But usually when the stock market, it's trying to find its way right now. So we know that inflation is driving that. I think for this particular instance, looking at the stock market right now, is there going to be a recession? Possibly. There are some signs out there. But there's also a lot of positive things going on in our world right now. We've got people have paid down their personal debt. Our unemployment rate is low. Businesses, surprisingly enough, are doing well. They have some supply-demand issues, but that's actually loosening up. So they are looking at possibly, there's some people that are thinking that we may go into a recession, but also what we're hearing is that if we do go into a recession, that it will be a little bit more shallow. And it shouldn't take a lot of years to come out of it. In fact, the thought is if we can kind of turn that inflation around so that it's starting to come down, the stock market will settle down. And, even though the stock market isn't going to go all of a sudden turn on a dime and start going straight up, it's still going to go up and down and up and down. So I think in the long term, I think, again, you go back to the reason that you're going to sell. When you do sell, when your portfolio is down, you do lose money, because then you're out of the market and you've taken your money off the table. And we don't know where the bottom is until after we're past it. So the one caution I would give people is be careful about moving money too much in this situation, because you don't want to have your money be in motion or out of the market when it makes that turn, because when it turns from kind of a negative market to start going up, you can miss that little bump that, you know, okay, all of a sudden, okay, now we got this figured out and we feel like we're on a positive track. So now the market's going to go up, and it'll go up a little bit. And again, like I said, you may have some pullbacks, but it will continue then to go up
that trajectory. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump in here. Martha Klatt, financial advisor at Carlson Advisors in Toma. Join in on how much to save, invest in the stock market. Your tips that helped you perhaps decades ago. 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're getting stock market basics. A study earlier this year by Magnify Money from LendingTree, it found 57% of Gen Z investors had more investing regrets. The most common regret among younger investors was not investing more money. Do you have investment regrets? Join in 800-642-1234. Martha Klatt is fielding questions, managing partner of a private wealth advisory firm in central Wisconsin. Let's go to Lori in Shawano. Lori, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Hi. I have lots of investing regrets. Right before the crash, I sold off all my stock. That was good. But then I got back into it, and I bought three different stocks, and all of them crashed like the same day or the next day by a half to 3/4 of what I invested. So it's been very depressing. I got the majority of my retirement account, finally put that in a CD, which is getting like 3%. And unfortunately, I'd have access to it when I turned 59 and a half in February, but wish I would have gotten that like 3 years ago. But I don't ever want to get into it, but what are some good investments? And also, when I win that Mega Millions tonight, what do I do with that $533 million that I'm going to get?
Oh, Lori, thank you so much for that. Martha, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry to hear about your experience. That's never a fun time for you. I think part, again, you kind of go back to your goals and your financial strategy. And what I like to see is certainly you want to have some money in the bank that's safe, you know, so that you always, when markets are like this or when life happens, that you're able to have, you know, a quote emergency fund and you don't have to worry about the market. And then again, you go into that diversified portfolio where you can, depending on kind of what you need that money for. That's a really important key question to ask yourself. What do I need this money for? Am I going to live on this when I retire? And if so, then you have to figure out when you're going to start using it. And that's going to kind of guide you into how to invest it. And that'll also guide you into how much risk you have to take. Now, when I talk about diversified, I throw that term out, but that means that you have a combination of stocks. And by saying stocks or equities, that could be mutual funds or exchange traded funds. But then you also want to have some fixed income and maybe some alternatives. And what happens is they kind of balance each other out. Now, this year has been an odd year because our stock market has gone down and our bond market also has been negative at certain times. And that's not usually the case. Usually when your stocks are doing well, your bonds maybe are not doing it as well, or else your fixed income can kind of give you a steady stream of income and you kind of know what you're going to get from those bonds. But when the bond market goes up, you know, sometimes that means your stocks are down. We don't usually have it where everything's down at the same time and you're wondering and you're not getting any interest at the bank. That's kind of a unique situation. I'd say buy, go back to that buy quality. Look at what you're purchasing. Make sure, take a look at the history. Take a, kind of use your gut a little bit. Do you buy the products of that company? Has the company been around for a long time? Are there things, you know, an example might be with your energy stocks. Is there reasons why you wouldn't buy an energy stock? Well, sometimes political reasons play into it. So we know right now that this administration really is into the environment and green energy. So if you were going to buy an energy stock, you're going to look at one and say, okay, does it have a green plan? Is this a company that's really concerned about the environment? Because if it is, then it's probably going to do better in this environment than maybe, you know, just to use an example, an energy company that just uses coal. We know that a coal company is not going to be a good investment right now because people are really concerned about the environment. So asking, you know, kind of diving a little bit deeper into that. And then if it's not, it's not everybody's thing to try to, it's not that you can't pick your own stocks or develop your own portfolio, but sometimes people just don't have the time or it's not what they want to do. So then I would say get with a professional that can help you and can guide you and help you put together that portfolio that doesn't keep you up at night and that you feel comfortable with, even when it's, even when the stock market is down, you're like, okay, somebody's watching it. I'm in good stuff. I'm going to be okay ultimately when this all gets worked out.
You mentioned the energy sector, and I'm wondering, are there particular sectors that weather downturns better and have less, perhaps, volatility? Are there particular sectors that people should look at in these times?
Yes, it kind of depends on what's driving the downturn. You know, right now, energy prices are high, so energy is doing well. The tech sector has gotten a little beat up this year. Mm-hmm. Although if you had looked last year, the tech sector was on fire. You know, you had stocks that were doing really, really well. Your consumer staples, you know, they may not set the world on fire and you may not be able to always make, you know, they're not going to, when the market's high, they're not going to be at the highest, but they kind of plug along there in the middle. Your blue chip stocks will pay a dividend. So they tend to, when you're in a volatile market, a value stock sometimes is a good stock to be in, because even if the price of the stock has gone down, it usually has to get pretty bad for a company before they're going to cut their dividends, because they have stockholders that are looking to get that dividend, and they don't want to make their stockholders upset. They want to keep them happy. And so if you have a stock that's paying a dividend, you know, you're still getting a little bit of income, even though the market may be down.
Talking stock market investments and strategies with Martha Klatt at our side, financial advisor in Toma. You can join in with your questions about investing, 800-642-1234. Matt is joining us from Milwaukee. Matt, what is on your mind?
Hi, yes, thanks for taking my call. So basically, my question is, you know, I 2 days ago, I just turned 35, halfway to 70. Here I am. You know, and I've never really gotten too deep whatsoever into investing. I took a wrong turn for a second with the cryptocurrency for a second, but didn't get too deep. And I just, the thought of a 401k and something I can't touch till I'm 65, it just seems so far out. And I really want to get started, but I don't know exactly where to go at this point, or if I'm just too late.
Matt, thank you. Martha, what would you advise?
I would say you're never too late, Matt. The one thing I would say is that if you have the opportunity to participate in a 401k plan or any type of retirement plan, you really want to think about doing that, especially if the company is matching, because it is a benefit to you. And if you're not taking advantage of that, you're leaving money on the table. If you don't have that, or if you have a 401k plan but the company doesn't match it, what I would, you know, what is a good product, and I know you say retirement accounts and having to leave it, but you kind of have that time again. You put money in and let that money work for you over time, and that just gives you options when you're older. But a Roth IRA, you can always do a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA, or you can even do just an individual investment account where it's not tied to being retired. But a Roth IRA is a good product for especially for younger people, because you put money in now, you're saving for retirement, and all your earnings then when you retire, you don't get taxed on that. So that's what the benefit is. It's like you pay taxes on your money now, put it in there, then it doesn't matter what tax bracket you're in when you retire. And a Roth IRA does have some caveats that you can. Ultimately, it's meant to be used for a retirement account, but there are some options that you have to be able to use it if you needed it. You could use it for a first-time home purchase down the road or something like that. But I would say you certainly want to do something to let your money work for you. And if you do have a 401k plan that they do match, I would say do at least, if you can afford it, if your cash flow allows it, do at least what the company's matching, because they're giving you that money for just putting your money in there.
How would you, though, prioritize? Like, let's say you have a retirement plan available through your work. Would you prioritize then getting in on all of their match and going, you know, gangbusters and all in on the retirement plan versus, you know, still doing some of the match but opening a separate account to start investing on your own on the side? How do you strike that balance?
Again, that's really individual. I mean, I guess it depends on the age and kind of the goals of the person. I like to tell, you know, the people that I work with, at least if you can't do all of the batch that the company is offering, at least start and do some of it. And then every time you get a raise, bump your percentage up until you do reach that match. So, I mean, there is some options. I mean, if you can't go all in or you don't want to go all in, say you want to do the 401k, but maybe it's just traditional and you want to have a Roth, well, you can make some decisions based on that. But I do try to encourage people to work up to that match, because, again, they're just leaving a benefit on the table that's theirs, and they work hard and they should get that. And if they're able to achieve it and still feel good about what they're doing and their cash flow is okay, then that's what they want to try to work towards.
Financial advisor Martha Klatt stays with us on the basics of investing in stocks, getting at the heart of your questions. Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation about how to buy and research stocks. Financial advisor Martha Klatt stays with us. Let's bring in Sarah now in Madison. Sarah, hi.
Hi, good morning. I don't want to get off subject too much, but the conversation about energy stocks got me thinking. I divested from all fossil fuels in my investments more than a decade ago when I moved to Madison, and often my financial advisor will call me when the market tanks and he'll say, you know, don't worry, the market tanked, but, you know, you're not really exposed as much because you don't have any energy stocks. And so that makes me really happy, because I'm really concerned about climate change and I would take less of a return to help protect the environment. But also I kind of like it when I get to brag and say, well, I'm not as exposed. So
Sarah,
I'm still looking for green energy companies to invest in, though.
I was going to say, Sarah, what does your portfolio mix look like of stocks? What do you, instead of energy, where do you go with that?
I'm a completely sustainable investor, so no guns, no tobacco, probably no alcohol. I'm with an advisor, so I get, you know, a various group, and he just makes sure that there's no energy exposure at all in that. So I can't tell you the specific stock.
Sure. Sarah, thank you for bringing that up. Martha, go ahead.
Yeah, that is, a very valid point. People do, have certain beliefs and certain values, and your value system is very important when you take a look at your portfolio. And you want to make sure that you're comfortable with the products that you own. And even if you have a mutual fund or an ETF and there's a certain thing, I also have clients that don't want any tobacco stocks or any alcohol stocks, or they want to be in with companies that are more environmentally responsible and that type of thing. And if you're working with an advisor, they have those resources. There's, like you had said at the beginning, just a ton of different products and stocks out there. So if there's something that's important to you, we certainly work hard with our clients to make sure that we're meeting their needs and making sure that they're comfortable with what they own.
Socially conscious investing, certainly they're in that conversation as well. As we talk about working with a financial advisor, do you have any tips there? How do you know if an advisor is really aligning with your philosophy? How do you find a financial advisor? What tips do you have?
Well, I would say you certainly want to do a little bit of homework. There's so much information out on the internet now. You can do a search. Most advisors have some type of web page. They may have Facebook presence or be on, social medias like LinkedIn, Twitter, and that type of thing. So see what they're all about. Kind of check that out. Certainly, I know here at our practice, we welcome people to come in for an appointment just to meet us, talk to us, find out what we think. I think it is really important that there be a relationship between the advisor and the client and that you're working as a partnership, that you feel comfortable. You feel like that advisor is listening to you and they're hearing you. If you are working with someone and you're afraid to ask questions or you just dread going into their office, I would say maybe that's not the right fit. And, I found for the most part, everybody usually that's come into my office, it's they've become a client or it's worked. But every once in a while, there's a person that it's just not the right fit. And that's really important. I mean, you have to feel... You have to have that trust and feel good about who you're working with and feel comfortable when they're talking to you. And if they're giving you advice or asking you to consider these things, you have to be comfortable with saying, well, why? Or I would rather do this. Why are you saying I shouldn't do this? And being able to have that give and take and that conversation. So at the end of the day, when my clients walk out of my office, I want them to feel good about what's happening, even if the market's down, mm-hmm. or even if I've said, I understand why you want to buy it, but here's what I think, and here's my recommendation. Ultimately, it's your money, your portfolio, and you end up doing it. You should be doing what you want to do, but I'm always going to give you my thoughts and my recommendations and have that discussion with you. And sometimes I have clients that agree with me and sometimes they're like, nope, I still want to do it, but thanks for your thoughts. I get where you're coming from, but I'm willing to do this, So that relationship is just really important. And I also think it's a holistic program. An advisor doesn't just work on investing your money. I like to look at my job as helping you make your dreams come true. Mm. What do I need to do on my end to help you live the life that you want to live and get you from point A to point Z and help you all along the way and still help you stay on track even when life happens? And it's a really fabulous job. It's really fun.
Thank you for that. Let's take another call. Marie is with us from Green Bay. Marie, what is your situation? What would you like to talk about?
Good morning. Well, first of all, I want to say bravo, Sarah, who was on before. And I want to continue along those lines as far as stocks and the importance of transparency and for us as investors to know what the end what is the cost of our investment? Of course, we want profits. I want profits. However, I can't drink oil and water. I can't drink oil. And if an oil company is polluting the water, I'm not going to invest in it. And people need to be aware of that. Also, if the company is doing massive buybacks, how is that affecting the economy? How is that affecting your everyday worker? And so, just like Sarah, I have diversified my portfolio, and I have had that relationship, like Martha talked about, with my investor to say, look, I'm not investing in any oil companies. I'm not investing. If you've got a company that's doing massive buybacks, and I listen to social media and the internet as far as what companies are do that, and I remove myself from them because I care about the quality of the future. I care about my granddaughters. I care about the climate, and I care about being able to have clean water. And those are important.
Your guiding principles as you invest. Marie, thank you for that. Martha, could you go a little bit deeper there on massive buybacks and what Marie is seeing there?
Yeah, so usually a company is going to buy back their stocks to reduce the number of shares and the number of shareholders they do, that they have. They can do it for different reasons, but usually they're just trying to consolidate and pay off debt or else make it so that they don't have as many stockholders. And sometimes I'm just trying to think, it doesn't really change the cost. It just decreases the number of shareholders. But I know that one thing that Maria said that I just really wanted to quick touch on is mm-hmm. when she talked about cost and fees. And I think it's really important for the investors to not be afraid to ask, what is the cost? How do you get paid? If you're working with a professional, how do you get paid? What is this?
Are you a fiduciary?
Yes. Are you a fiduciary? What is this product going to cost me? Mutual funds are a good example. Sometimes people are like, well, I'm not paying fees on that. Well, yes, you are, but they're tied up in the price of the mutual fund. And it's, we talk about trying to be really transparent in our industry, and I think we've made strides to do that. But sometimes it's not real clear. And, when I hand you, 20 pages of disclosures, that's not as transparent as we could be. So I have that conversation with my client. Okay, if we do this product, this is the cost. This is what you'll see on your statement, but this cost is in there too. Hmm. And you're not going to see that broken down anywhere, but you need to know you're paying it. So Marie made a good point about, knowing the costs and knowing what you're paying for products is important.
Martha, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Martha Klatt is a financial advisor with Carlson Advisors in Toma, part of Ameriprise Financial Services. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.